Good morning. The Secretary General will brief you on exercise Trident Juncture, and then he'll be very happy to take your questions. Secretary General.
Good morning. The main phase of exercise Trident Juncture will begin tomorrow in Norway. This is an important day because Trident Juncture is NATO's biggest exercise since the end of the Cold War. It is ambitious and it is demanding. Let me give you our latest figures regarding its size. Trident Juncture will include around 65 ships, 250 aircraft, 10,000 vehicles, and 50,000 personnel. All 29 NATO allies will participate, as well as our partners Finland and Sweden. This is a strong display of our capabilities and our resolve to work together. In recent years, Europe's security environment has significantly deteriorated. NATO has responded with the biggest adaptation of our collective defense since the end of the Cold War. Trident Juncture demonstrates that adaptation. The scenario is fictitious, but the lessons we learn will be real. The participants will split into South Forces and North Forces. They will make turns playing the role of the fictitious aggressor and the NATO defending forces. The exercise will test our readiness to restore the sovereignty of an ally, in this case Norway, after an act of armed aggression. It will exercise our ability to reinforce an allied country with troops and equipment from North America and from across Europe. It will test and certify the NATO response force for 2019. So Trident Juncture sends a clear message to our nations and to any potential adversary. NATO does not seek confrontation, but we stand ready to defend all allies against any threat. This is a big exercise and a huge logistical undertaking. Since August, some 180 flights and 60 ships of equipment and personnel have arrived at 27 different locations across Norway, including harbours, airports and train stations. Equipment and troops have arrived from as far as San Diego in California, over 8,000 kilometres to the west, and Izmir in Turkey, 3,000 kilometres to southeast. Today, all our forces and equipment are in place, from the largest ship to the smallest drone. Moving troops and equipment across borders on such a scale is a multinational effort. Let me give you one example. German tanks arrived in Norway on a Danish vessel. On arrival, they were checked by Norwegian specialists, fueled by a Belgian fuel truck, loaded on Dutch and Polish transporters by road and rail to their final destination. This was supervised by an American movement control team and organized by Bulgarian logisticians. So I want to pay tribute to the capable men and women who are working so hard to move all the forces and equipment in and around Norway for Trident Juncture. Their work is a great example of Allied cooperation. The whole exercise will be commanded by Admiral Fogo from aboard the USS Mount Whitney. And an important part of Trident Juncture will take place at sea. The Atlantic is vital for the security of Europe and for global trade and communications. It also provides a crucial route for reinforcement between North America and Europe. NATO is committed to securing the Atlantic, and Trident Juncture demonstrates the enduring strength of the transatlantic bond. Thousands of forces from both the United States and Canada will take part. They are deploying some of their most capable assets, including the USS Harry S. Truman, which I visited recently, the first U.S. aircraft carrier in Norwegian waters since 1987. NATO is a defensive alliance. We are transparent in the way we exercise. All members of the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe have been invited to send observers to Trident Juncture. And I welcome that Russia, as well as Belarus, have accepted the invitation. NATO also briefed Russia on Trident Juncture in the NATO-Russia Council earlier this year. NATO allies respect the OSCE Vienna document on transparency of military activities, both in letter and in spirit. While Russia has not notified a single exercise since the end of the Cold War. Trident Juncture 18 will bring together large numbers of personnel and a lot of equipment. Some of our forces are using this opportunity to do additional exercises. For example, the deployment phase of Trident Juncture provides training opportunities as part of NATO's exercise Brilliant Jump. Poland will hold its regular exercise Anaconda immediately after Trident Juncture. Troops from 10 allies will participate in Anaconda, which will be hosted jointly by Poland and our Baltic allies. Finland is also using the presence of Allied navies in the region in exercise Northern Coasts. All these exercises show that we stand together in an unpredictable world and that our capabilities are real and ready. And with that, I'm ready to take your questions.
Okay, we'll go to Reuters in the first row.
Thank you very much, Robin Emmett from Reuters. Secretary-General, yesterday evening, Washington made clear to Russia that it will withdraw from the INF Treaty. Given that NATO as recently as July in the summit declaration committed to upholding this treaty and called it a landmark treaty, where does the US decision leave NATO? Thank you.
The INF Treaty is a landmark treaty, but the problem is that no treaty can be effective, can work, if it's only respected by one part. And therefore, NATO allies have expressed concerns about the Russian behavior, about the development of a new Russian missile. And we have also stated clearly, all allies, that the most plausible explanation is that Russia is in violation of the treaty because they now have accepted that they are developing a new missile, SSC-8. We have had ongoing consultations on this for a long time. This was actually an issue that was raised by the Obama administration. It was an issue that we addressed also at our summit in July, where heads of state and government expressed very strong positions on the INF issue and expressed their concerns about the Russian behavior. And at the defense ministerial meeting in October, this was one of the main issues discussed in the meeting, but also publicly at the press conference, I expressed my concerns. I addressed the fact that Russia is developing this new missile, and also Secretary Mattis was very clear and stated clearly that this can not go on. This is untenable that Russia is developing the new missile.
Thank you, Ana Pisonero from the Spanish news agency Europa Press. It's still on the INF Treaty, Secretary General. Has any allied asked for consultations under Chapter 4? Because potentially, if the US decides to pull out of the treaty, it could have big impact for the security of the whole of the allies and also the US. or if the US is actually going to brief in a future NAC to the Allies about this potential decision. And the second question is indeed NATO has been for years denouncing Russian violations. Is the whole alliance on board on the fact that now is the tipping point that the US should have to start developing its own capabilities to match Russian capabilities? I mean, is it the tipping point and everybody's on board on that? Thank you.
All allies agree that the INF Treaty is important. And that's exactly why we are so concerned about the Russian behavior. All allies, of course, agree with the United States that the United States is in full compliance with the treaty. But at the same time, we state clearly that the most plausible explanation is that Russia now is in violation of the treaty. And therefore, the challenge, the problem, is the Russian behavior, which we have seen over many years. And it has been clearly stated that this cannot go on. We cannot have a treaty between two parties which is only respected by one of them. We have had ongoing consultations for a long period. This was one of the main issues at the defense ministerial meeting a few weeks ago. It was one of the main issues I discussed during my recent visit to Washington. And we will also have a meeting later on this week in the North Atlantic Council at ambassadorial level where we will discuss the INF treaty and the Russian behavior, which is of great concern for all allies. We don't want a new Cold War. We don't want a new arms race. So, therefore, we strongly believe that it is important to address the concerns we have expressed for a long time regarding the new Russian missile, and that Russia has to come into compliance with the INF Treaty in a transparent and verifiable way. We will, of course, assess the implications for NATO allies, for our security, of the new Russian missiles and the Russian behavior. But I don't foresee that allies will station more nuclear weapons in Europe as a response to the new Russian missile.
Deutsche Welle, NPR.
Hi, Terry Schultz with NPR and Deutsche Welle. I'll start with this, but I promise I'll get to Trident Juncture. It still remains that you haven't. Really answered what you believe or what you think, what the alliance thinks about the response that the U.S. has had. Everyone knows Russia's in violation. Russia's admitted it's in violation to some extent. Is this still the best way to go forward for the U.S. to dump the treaty? And if you are going to, I mean, it's not up to NATO whether there will be a new arms race or not. If there is increasing nuclear tension and, God forbid, new nuclear weapons, what difference does it make how well your tanks can cross rivers and move to the border of Estonia if there's going to be a nuclear threat? I mean, the Trident Juncture exercises on the ground have not proved a deterrent yet. So, yeah, I want to know the value in light of the nuclear threat. Thanks.
We don't have an effective INF treaty if it's only respected by one part. That has been and that is the main problem. All allies have strongly stated that we are concerned about the new missile and that the most plausible explanation is that Russia is in violation of the INF treaty. And, of course, we have also stated clearly that the U.S. is respecting the treaty. But we also understand that this is not something that can go on because the treaty is not working if it's only respected by one side. We will assess the implications. And as I said, we will have a meeting at ambassadorial level later on this week, which is part of an ongoing consultation which has been going on for many months, especially the last months with the summit and the defense ministerial meeting. We already have a nuclear challenge because Russia has nuclear weapons. So even though the INF Treaty has been important because it abolished the whole category of weapons, intermediate range weapons, Russia has maintained different capabilities, nuclear capabilities, strategic capabilities, but also short-range weapons. So what NATO needs is a credible deterrence and a response, full spectrum from conventional weapons all the way up to nuclear weapons. But the deployment of a new Russian missile makes it necessary for NATO to assess the implications for our security, and that's exactly what we are doing.
Thank you, Irina Sommer, Kyiv Post newspaper. Secretary General, on another Russia behavior, yesterday European Parliament, together with High Rep Mogherini, discussed situation in the Azov Sea, particularly its militarization, which can lead potentially to the escalation in the region. What is NATO assessment on this, if there is one? Do we have a reason to worry about? Thank you.
Yes, we are concerned about the situation in the Azov Sea, and the Russian behavior there is a part of a pattern we have seen over a long time, and especially in this region, with the illegal annexation of Crimea, with the new bridge, and of course with the Russian activities or destabilizing, also the Russian support to the military activities in eastern Ukraine, destabilizing eastern Ukraine, Donbas. I discussed the situation in the Azov Sea recently with Foreign Minister Klimkin when he visited the NATO headquarters. I expressed my full support to the sovereignty of Ukraine, territorial integrity, and including also the freedom of navigation and the importance both for Ukraine to be able to have open and free sea lines of communication, including in the Azov Sea. But this is, of course, also important for NATO allies, for our ships, and for a trade between NATO allies and Ukraine. So this is something which has been addressed and just highlights the importance of that Russia comes into or respects its international obligations, including the freedom of navigation in the Azov Sea.
Okay, couple times.
Thank you, Secretary General. Today, I think that the NAC is talking also about a resilient support mission in Afghanistan as well. Could you please tell me, in these days, we heard from U.S. and also Afghan, they said that the peace negotiation is also concerned by U.S. that they have a lead to talk with the Taliban. Also, representative Khalilzad also met some Taliban member in Qatar. And always you are saying that you are supporting the peace process by leading the Afghans. And nowadays it's a little bit changed. Still, NATO is supporting the peace negotiation with the Afghans. And also, after 17 years of war in Afghanistan with the terrorism, and still we have a lot of problem, and no one is recognized anymore Taliban as a group, as a terrorist group. So if the Taliban is not a terrorist group, with whom you are fighting? Thank you.
So NATO supports efforts to find a political and peaceful solution to the conflict in Afghanistan. We do that not by participating directly in peace talks. That's not NATO's role. But we support them politically. NATO allies provide support. But our most important contribution to the peace process is to send a clear message to Taliban and to other insurgents that they cannot win on the battlefield. So we have to train, assist, and advise the Afghan forces in a way that enables them to make clear for Taliban that they will not win on the battlefield. They have to sit down at the negotiating table. So that's the main way we help Afghanistan, with capacity building, train, assist, and advise. we support an Afghan-led and Afghan-owned peace process. But at the same time, I think that direct contacts between the U.S. and Taliban is also valuable. And I'm absolutely certain that the U.S. Does what they can to make sure that this is coordinated with Kabul. For us, the important thing is that it's an Afghan-owned and Afghan-led peace process, and I'm absolutely certain that the U.S. coordinate their efforts closely with Kabul and the Ghani government. And I know that they have discussed it several times. It's also an issue we discuss when we meet in NATO. We will meet in the rest of support format today. So that provides us with a new opportunity to have U.S. And Afghanistan and all NATO allies around the table and address the peace efforts and the peace process. NATO doesn't have a list where we list different organizations as terrorist organizations. For us, it is important that we provide support to the Afghan forces, security forces. They have the main responsibility for security in their own country, but we help them, and then we leave it to them to decide so how they make progress or how they reach out to Taliban to try to have a political process with the Taliban.
Okay. Associated Press.
Lorne Cook from the Associated Press. You might be relieved to have a question on Trident Junction now, even though I realise we're part of the deterrence by reporting on it. It sounds like an Article 5 scenario, so I wanted to be sure that that's correct. The geographical location, Norway, very close to Russia. We've had two big Russian exercises with China, with Belarus last year. I wonder if you have any thoughts on who else a potential Article 5 opponent might be. And then is this exercise also an opportunity to test out some of the cyber, aggressive or attacking cyber capabilities that have been put up for use for NATO in the future? Thank you.
It is the biggest exercise since the end of the Cold War, and that reflects the adaptation of NATO. NATO has implemented the biggest adaptation of our alliance since the end of the Cold War, because when the world changes, then NATO has to change. And that's exactly what we have done. High readiness of our forces, increased military presence in the eastern part of the alliance, and investing more in our security in defense. And the exercise is part of that. NATO has always exercised, and we exercise and train all the time, but to have these big exercises where we move thousands of tons of equipment, heavy vehicles, tens of thousands of personnel, is important to show that we are able to defend and protect any ally against any threat. We exercise in Norway, but of course the lessons learned from Norway, from Trident Juncture, are also relevant for other countries. And just to make sure that 29 allies can work together in air, sea, land and cyber is important, and we need to do that in a real environment, in challenging climate and nature, as the soldiers will face in Norway. Cyber is an integrated part of any military operation today. And of course, we will exercise cyber. Exactly what kind of cyber capabilities we will exercise, I think I will not go into now. But NATO has decided to integrate what we call national cyber effects. It is also called offensive cyber. So we can integrate that into NATO missions and operations. We will, of course, only use these national cyber effects in compliance with international law, but we need also these capabilities in a modern and more demanding security environment.
Le soir.
Thank you, Philippe Renier, newspaper Le Soir in Brussels. Back to the INF Treaty, I have a just simple question. Could you share the European message, which is basically encouraging Russia and the US to pursue their dialogue in order to save the treaty? Or do you think it's better now to kill the treaty and or to renegotiate it, even eventually with China? Thank you.
The NATO allies have encouraged Russia to be in compliance with the treaty in a transparent and open and verifiable way for years. This is not a new concern. This was a concern that was first raised by the Obama administration. I remember I came here in 2015 when Obama, President Obama, was president, and that was an issue we discussed. And it was raised by NATO allies and raised by the US, which is part of the treaty, with Russia, and we called on them to answer our questions, to answer our concerns, and to be in compliance with the INF Treaty in a verifiable and transparent way. The problem is that that has not happened. And therefore, our best assessment is that Russia is in violation of the treaty. And the US, which is part of the treaty, has already determined that Russia is violating the treaty. And Russia has now admitted that they are developing and fielding a new missile, SSC-8. So the problem, the threat, the challenge is the Russian behavior, which has been ongoing for a long time. And this is a very important agreement, the INF agreement, because it doesn't only reduce the number of weapons, but it abolishes a whole category of weapons, zero. And it was agreed back in 1987. I remember that very well, because that actually shaped the security policies and understanding of whole generations of politicians in Europe at that time. The intermediate forces, the deployment of the Russian SS-20 and the NATO response with the dual-track decision to deploy Pershing and cruise missiles. But we don't want to go back to that situation. We don't want a new Cold War. We don't want a new arms race. And therefore, I don't foresee that allies will deploy more nuclear weapons in Europe as a response to the new Russian missile. But I see a need, and that's what now is going on in NATO, is a need to assess the implications of the new Russian missile for our security.
Okay, we'll go over there.
Dmitry Shkurko, National News Agency of Ukraine. So far as we know, few Ukrainian officers will be deployed in the staff of the exercises, but Ukraine itself is not named among the partner nations taking part in the exercises. Was that like a political decision by NATO, or there was no request from Ukraine itself? And the second part of the same question, how deeply the hybrid circumstances in the east of Ukraine reflected in the exercises scenario? Thank you.
Sweden and Finland are the only NATO partners that will participate in the live part of the Trident Juncture in the part of the exercise that takes place in Norway as the live exercise. Several partners, but I can't remember exactly how many, but there are several partners will participate in the tabletop, the command exercise that will take place afterwards. So only Sweden and Finland in the live exercise. Several partners will participate in the other part of the exercise. And we exercise with Ukraine, but they are not part of the live part of the Trident Juncture. The other part was hybrid. Yes, of course, hybrid is also part of this exercise, meaning that we have to be prepared for cyber attacks, for disinformation, and all that. So hybrid and cyber is now an integrated part of any military operation and, of course, any large military exercise.
Okay, I see a final question, Europa Press follow-up.
Thanks. Are you worried that what's going on with the INF might have implications also for other agreements like START, which should be renovated in 2021? And second quick question is the date for the next NRC council already foreseen for the 31st October? Is this already agreed with Russia, the date? And will this be an opportunity to talk about the INF? Thank you.
So NATO is in favor of arms control, but to be effective, arms control agreements have to be respected by all parties. And as I said, the problem with the INF Treaty is that it's only respected by one part. We believe in arms control, but it has to be balanced and verifiable. And therefore, I welcome the fact that one of the issues which is now discussed between the US and Russia, which are the two parties to the New START agreement, is how to address the fact that they need a new decision to maintain the New START after 2021. I hope that they will find a way to do so, because arms control is a way to avoid a new arms race, and that's especially important when it comes to nuclear weapons, and therefore I welcome the fact that this is an issue which is now discussed between Russia and the United States. We have not yet decided the next date for the next meeting of the NATO-Russia Council, but as you know, we have had several meetings in the Council over the last couple of years, after a period with no meetings from 2014 to 2016. Since 2016, we have had several meetings, and we are now discussing with Russia how to convene the next meeting of the NATO-Russia Council. Which items we will discuss, I think I will not go into details about that now. But what I can say is that we have used the Council to, for instance, address transparency, force posture. So we have briefed Russia on Trident Juncture. They have briefed us on Vostok. And for NATO, it is very important to be transparent and predictable. And therefore, we have briefed them in the NATO-Russia Council. We have invited Russia to observe the exercise according to the agreement in the OSCE Vienna document. And I expect also Russia to monitor the exercise to be up there in the north. And as long as they behave professional and avoid dangerous situations and behavior, I don't think that's a problem at all that they monitor the exercise Trident Juncture.
Thank you very much. This concludes this press conference, and hopefully we'll see you all at Trident Juncture in Norway. Thank you.
Thank you.